Tango, Tango, Tango. We'll start the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical end in about 30 seconds. Raising over Gordon, W2TTT. Are there any stations with emergency or parade traffic? Please call KTBAR, W2TTT. Okay, nothing hurt. And that worked out real well. So, let's see. This net. It meets weekly to have a conversation about amateur radio, computers, electronics, telecommunications, all the things that depend on those things, natural phenomena, how we use amateur radio, what we use it for, things we liked, things we didn't like, how to do things better, things we aspire to do, things we've done in the past that we want to share with others, both good and bad. It's a generalized conversation, but it is a technical conversation. And it's not too technical for anybody to participate in. We'd like you to check in whether or not you have a question or a comment for the net, because we want to be able to focus the responses on who's paying attention. So if you're listening, just don't sit back and listen. Let us know you're there. Before we start tonight, I am going to need someone to take down the roster because I am mobile. Is there a station on frequency who would send me a list of call signs after we get everybody checked in? This is W2TTT.
KC2UNH.
Hey, Paul, KC2UNH. Can you take down a roster if I just rattle through?
That works. South Benefit ARRL.
Great. My call sign ARRL would be great, Paul. Thank you. A Verizon Fios story to share later on how not to do customer care. Oh my God. Anyway. Alrighty. And thank you. So the way this networks is you check in with your call sign, your name, and you indicate whether you have a question, a comment, a for sale or swap item, or none of the above. You can have combinations of those things too. Whatever works for you. We do encourage for sale or for swap items as well, and that's always fun. That adds a little spice to the net too. So, with no further ado, let's see where we can go. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha, please call K2BAR W2TTT. There was an Alpha station in there, but I'll be darned if I know who it is. You were more out than in, and we never got a call sign out of it. So I'm going to ask that you check in again. Let's see if you can improve your signal a little bit.
Alpha Charlie 2, Golf India, Rich. No questions, no comments. I'm on an HT today.
Hey, Rich, very good. Thank you for checking in. Any other Alpha stations? Okay, let's go right to the Whiskey stations. Go ahead, Whiskey 2s.
Whiskey 2, Charlie Hotel to K2BAR. Good evening, Gordon. Ray and White Plains, none of the above.
Thank you, Ray. W2CH. K2BAR, very good. Any other Whiskeys?
W2JEK, done, none of the above.
I got two stations in there, W2JEK, Juliet Echo Kilo. Good evening, Don. And, wow, none of the above.
Woo-hoo.
And that's a rarity for you. And there was another station with you. Who was the other whiskey?
No questions, no comments, just listening tonight.
Okay, there are three stations in there. Okay, W2 Lima Charlie November, W2LCN. Good evening, Rick. I got that you have no questions or comments. I got Charlie WE2R, Whiskey Echo 2 Romeo. Charlie, I didn't get what your status was. Over.
Yes, Gordon. No questions or comments. Over.
Roger, roger. Got that. Thank you, Charlie. Any other whiskeys? Okie dokie. Let's move to the next call sign block. Let's do Kilo 2s. Kilo 2s first.
KT2NKU, Maryland, White Plains, MARYLYN. No questions, no comments.
KC2. Oh gosh. All of a sudden I drew a blank on your call, Maryland. You spelled out your name, that was funny. All right, very good.
If it's KC2NKU, well, considering if I said I voted for Obama, no wonder you didn't.
It's no bummer, and or oh bummer, and what's your suffix again?
Kilo Charlie 2, November Kilo Uniform.
I'm tired, thank you. KC2NKU. Very good, thank you very much. Yeah, just, well, anyway, I'm not going to get into politics. I get enough controversy just talking about ham radio. Anyway, very good. Thank you very much, Marilyn. Any other kilos?
This is Kilo 2's Little Oscar. I have a comment and a question.
Okay, James, one comment, one question. We'll get to you right off the top, I think, today. Any other kilos?
KD2, CRB2, with a question.
Sue, just because, only because you were a little noisy, you're KC2BR, again, your last letter?
Yeah, KD2, CRB, do with a question.
KD2CRV, pardon me, KD2 Charlie Romeo Victor, thank you. Alrighty, I got your questions noted as well. Alright, any other kilos?
2AMI, Tony.
Hi, Tony. Any questions, comments, confusions, swap items, etc.?
One question.
Wow, it's a Kilo Knight to ask questions. All right, very good. We got you in there. Any other kilos? Okie dokie. And then the ever-popular Novembers.
NS2K, Jim. No question at this point.
Hey Jim, good evening, NS2K. Good to hear you. Any other Novembers? Hey Jim, do you realize when you move west, you're going to be, what, 3 hours behind us, or 2 hours, 2 hours? You'll be able to get on the tech net right after dinner, when, or while you're munching your dinner. It'll be nice and calm, and I can see you enjoying the sunset while you're listening to the tech net. My lord. Anyway, we'll get to that later. Any other Novembers? They were also available via Echolink, K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L, K2 Foxtrot Juliet-Lima. Are there any stations on the Echolink? Alrighty, well, let's get to the business at hand. K2ZO, tag you're it. Comment first, and then we'll get to your question. K2BARW2TTT.
Okay, my comment is you've got, this is K2ZO, my comment is you got too much audio. Back it down. And I did have a question, and also some items for sale. Are we mentioning items for sale here, as you said before?
Absolutely.
Okay, I have a Kenwood transceiver, a TS-570, in immaculate condition. It was owned by John, K2KRF, who is no longer going to be able to use it in his new QTH, and he wants to sell it, along with the PS-50 power supply. If anybody's interested, give me send me an email at k2zo@arrl.net. This transceiver's probably had no more than 150 contacts on it, and in excellent condition. And I also have an Ameritron AL11H, which is also in the same case. I think it's got about 5 contacts on it. So if anyone's interested in any of this, please let me know. And that's about it for now. And the other question I had was on the Hamfest, a craft fair this Saturday, what time does it open? Back to you, K2ZO.
Thank you, Jim. For vendors, the doors open at 6 a.m. For buyers at 7. Should have the coffee rocking and rolling, certainly by 7. There'll be breakfast and all sorts of yummies there. Let's see, what else did I want to mention? The Ham Fest at the Craft Fair will be open until 3 in the afternoon. This is a holiday kind of thing, so basically half the room is going to be set up for hams and the other half for crafters and stuff like that. But people are welcome to bring, household items as well. But what we're going to do is with the exception of KJI, who's going to be over to the left as you walk in, because that's where he likes to perch, the hams are going to be on the right side of the room. And at least that's the plan. And the crafters will be on the left side of the room, and the household items will be in the middle. So if you want to bring other things that are well beyond your normal ham radio stuff or radio electronics type stuff, we'll kind of sit you toward the middle unless you really are adamant about being on one side or the other, which in most cases we'll do our best to accommodate you. But, it's really nice that way. Thank you for asking. And we will have both breakfast and lunch available. Diana's got that under control and rocking and rolling.
Okay, very good. Do you know if Kathy Souter is going to be there?
She indicated when I saw her at a recent Hamfest, where was that, that she was coming. So, yes, she likes that Hamfest, and she said, it's December, it's easy, and it's fun to do, and as she put it, she mentioned a number that she made last year when she came, and I was dumbstruck as to how much she made.
Probably half of it from me.
I'll tell you when I see you how much she made. It was amazing. I was dumbstruck because if you remember last year, she was up in the front corner and people had to actually walk down to find her. But she had a bunch of tables and she was making money $2 to $5 at a time at unbelievable rates. I was dumbstruck as to how much she made. Oh yeah, this is a great event to come in December. It's warm, it's indoors, it's easy, you guys make it fun, like the food is good, da-da-da-da. She went on and on. She says, I can't do the summer one because I got outdoor stuff I got to do in other places, but this is great.
Okay, well, I gave her a good amount of business last time. Okay, back to that, K2ZO.
Well, you're not the only one. Yeah, I understand. That's great. That's super. Well, I'm glad. I know I spent a few dollars with her, too, but... And not again. So, but... Anyway, it's all good. Just for reference, Kathy Souter, guys, sells mostly connectors and hard-to-find parts that are just, that you need for things when you're building stuff, so... She's a bit of a gold mine, and most people don't realize it, but you can call her and she will be more than happy to drop parts in the mail to you. You don't have to wait to Hamfest to get stuff from Souter Electronics, so something to consider. And she has no shipping minimum, although after a certain point she just doesn't charge you for the shipping. I do know that. So anyway, any other questions about Saturday since we're on that subject, or on the subject of K2KRF's what do they call it, TS-570. It was a nice radio.
KC2, you on here?
Go ahead, Paul.
First, did you get the email or the check-in? Second, I want to pump your 10:30 emergency communication for kids. Hoping to bring down my Cubs and hopefully get a few scouts down there. Hoping to get double digits and hopefully it'll be good.
It'll be fine, absolutely. Okay, so what Paul's asking about, I didn't mention it, so we've actually got three sessions on Saturday morning. The first session is meet our director-elect at 9:30. Mike Lysenko will be there to meet and greet. And so if you're interested in meeting our new ARRL division director, you're welcome to meet with him at 9:30. He'll probably be there earlier, but he's got a formal session then. At 10:30, we're going to have an emergency communication session. And while Paul asked me to do it for kids, you know, it'll be fine for adults too. I mean, Paul's, I think you've watched, I think, do the gee-whiz for the kids, a little gee-whiz for the adults, but also send important messages to adults, so as to how they can get involved, the things that go over the head of the kids that the adults can retain and use either with the kids or for themselves or both. So we do that. And then 11:30, there's something else at 11:30. What is it? Oh, Lord. Oh, yes, I know. 11:30, tentatively, I think Jeremy is going to be working on cutting up his copper dipole, copper J-poles, and make them, and basically sweat in, threaded fittings so that they can be broken down. That was a request from the Red Cross to make some of them that can be broken down. So he's got to basically cut into them, cut away some metal, and sweat in some new metal for the threaded fittings. He's going to do that at 11:30, so there'll be an opportunity for kids or adults who want to play with plumbing pipe and torches to go do that. Those are the three sessions we have planned at this time. So, anything else on this subject?
KC2, you on here?
Paul?
Also, I thought you said you were doing FLDG at 11:30 as well.
That's right. Last night I did mention that. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to do both, so I don't think that's going to be a conflicting part. What I don't know is if Carl's coming tomorrow. I think Carl can't, so I think it's going to be left to me to take care of that, both the digital communications and any radio programming. That was the other thing we were going to offer, is if people wanted, you know, a couple of the popular Chinese handy talkies programs, we can certainly do that as the day goes on. There's time, you know, that's more of a lunchtime thing, but, you know, demonstrating digital communications with acoustic interfaces is it's pretty neat. Anything else? Back to you, Paul.
No, that covers me. I'll back to that.
Very good. And Jim, anything from you?
No, that's it for now.
Anybody else have anything they want to add?
Into the CRV. What's the address of this hamfest?
19 North William Street in Bergenfield.
Roger, thank you.
I just looked at my gas gauge. My God, I got to get up the street like now. I just went past the gas station about a half a mile back. Oh, good, this Sunoco's open. I think I'm going to the Sunoco tonight, whether I want to or not. Dokey. I'd forgotten I had to go get gas. Alrighty. Are they still open? God, I hope so. Yes, they're open. Alright. Anyway, let's see. Who gets the next question? Actually, you do, Stu. It's over to you.
Okay, Katie. K2Z, CRB, Stu. Yeah, just got hold of my, got delivery of my J-pole 2 meter, and because it was hooking up, it was hooked up to my handheld. Do I have to do any tuning? A friend of mine says I might need an SWR meter, so on and so forth. Just wondering if that needs to be done. Over.
What kind of antenna did you just get?
It's the Aerosmith. Allows me to talk in 440 and 144. It's arrived. And I'll be throwing it up into the attic. Over.
The RF J-pole, the dual band J-pole?
Roger, that's it, yes.
I don't think so. I think that pretty much comes up as, if I recall, I don't think there are any adjustments on that.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'll fuss around with it, like I say. I just got it. Haven't had it. It just arrived an hour ago, so I haven't had time to open it up, but I'll read the instructions and go from there. Back to you. Back to him.
That sounds great. Okay, anybody have any suggestions for Sue? Alright. Now let's see. Our last question was from, from Tony. I remember. Q2AMI, over to you.
Good evening. This is K2AMI with the K2B Arnet, and I want to thank Gordon for already covering the ham-fest questions that I had. You covered everything in detail that I was curious about, so I have no further questions, and hopefully I will see you tomorrow morning as a buyer, not as a vendor. Back to you, Gordon.
You know, keep in mind that it's Saturday morning, not tomorrow.
Sierra, right, Saturday morning, right.
I appreciate the support. I think that it's helpful to our boys and gets it going here. Are there any other questions for the tonight or comments?
KC2, you on hitch?
Go ahead, Paul.
Okay. Another actually an antenna question. It's on the G5RV. And it's sort of, okay. Finding minutes to HF. I went down to KJI last week and he emptied my wallet. My problem is my dear wife. For some background, my wife has a master's in electromagnetics, especially in antenna design. And I sort of put this one up on her washing line, and she wasn't so much annoyed at that, but more the first words out of her mouth were horizontal polarization. How on earth is that going to work? So my question is, where can I get some good technical information on a G5RV that I can sort of give her and say, there you go, dear. Enjoy.
Oh, you know, there's a couple of good answers to that. One is you could go buy her a classic version of the ALR antenna book. That's always exciting. Another one is buy her a really good RSGB book on and the RSGB book that's very good on that matter on wire antennas. The other thing is, there's, I'm thinking, Dick, you know, KTRAW will probably have some poem for her to read that only she and Dick really enjoy. I'll just leave it at that. But let me suggest this. Her question is, why won't it work if it's horizontal? Is that what her problem is?
Okay, the books are a nice idea, but if you take a look at her library collection, it's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. It's more a case of where can I get, effectively, here's the technical specs on the G5RV, here's the diagrams, here's the DB off, whatever, here's the specs,
Are you okay with it? Okay, I put it in the wrong place. Let me know where you want it.
Okay, so let's back up for a second. I can take, let's assume that all ham radio was 40 meters, just for a moment. I can take a 40-meter dipole at 12 feet. I can take a 40-meter dipole at 40 feet. I can take it at 120 feet or 130 feet. And I can spin it in different directions. And all of those things will give me different and all superior results depending on what it is I'm trying to accomplish. So it's not a matter of optimization. It's a matter of generalized utility. You don't use a G5RV for optimization. You use it to get to squirt RF and pull RF out of the ether, or into the ether, excuse me, on a broad range of frequencies with little hassle, little fuss and muss. And you do it as a compromise. So I think her, I mean, if she would like you to have an idealized antenna farm, well, that's fine, honey. Just how many wires did you want in the yard?
I think it's more a case of where I placed it. It's more like you ain't going anywhere with that. So I need to sort of say, well, okay, here's the spec of the antenna. You know, let's work together, dear, and tell me where to put it.
Well, again, it depends on the angle of radiation, the band you're using it on, et cetera, et cetera, and the propagation to what part of the universe that you want to put RF. If you want to talk only a few hundred miles, you're going to orient it one way, you're going to do another way. I mean, it goes on and on. I understand your point, but there's no one right answer in ham radio in particular, because it depends on how, you know, what you want. If your goal is just to squirt RF into the air and get, you know, have it with one piece of wire, well, then there you go. If she can help you optimize it, that's fine. There are some plots for the radiation pattern in both the E plane and the H plane of a G5RV at different frequencies. I would start with those and say, okay, this has a lower radiation angle, this will be good for DX. Here's a higher radiation angle, it'll be good as a cloud warmer to talk in what I'll call regional communications on X, Y, or Z bands, etc. And that's kind of how you have to approach it. You have to explain to her what you're going to get as a result of the configuration of that wire on that particular frequency that's under discussion.
I think that's what I need. I need the plot and a good source for the plot. So I can sort of say, you know, this is what it does. Now I take it from here.
Go look up the radiation patterns in E and H plane for a G5RV, you know, and do it by frequency of operation. So you take a 40-meter, what I'll call a 40 through 6 or a 40 through 10, whatever they call it, G5RV versus an 80 through 10 G5RV, and you go, and for each band, you show the E and H plane plots, and, you know, high angles are going to give you shorter range than lower angles, but it's not always about range. Sometimes it's about, you know, making sure that your little umbrellas, you know, is flooded with RF and not, you know, out at the rim of the planet, you know, skimming off the ionosphere to bounce a signal somewhere else.
Is there a site or after that?
There are. I mean, you could conceivably get LNEC or EasyNEC and do your own, but that would pleasantly impress her, I'm sure. There's a free version. Let me see. Jim, K2ZO, help us out here with one of the NEC-based antenna design tools. You know, especially since he's got so few wire segments to worry about. He's only got to worry about
essentially four segments for a G5RV. I got to believe that modeling that's not going to be rocket science. And I got to believe those line just by Googling it.
K2ZO there? Well, I'll take that as a no. But those would be my first two suggestions. Go up on, and just Google, you know, G5RV radiation patterns, and you'll find it. You know, you should play lots. The trick is be mindful of the frequency that you're operating on, and also be mindful of what the frequency was for the design of the antenna when you, what do you call it, you know, when it was used. So if you're using a 40-meter, if you're using it on 40 meters, but it was designed for 40 through 10 versus one you're using on 40 meters and it was designed for 80 or 160 through 10, those are two different, you'll get two different patterns when you're using it on 40.
Okay, thank you. I think that it takes me further through that. Small second question I had on that was I actually got the junior, which is 40 to through to 10. I'm receiving 160. My sort of question is, what's transmit on that? What would it be like? I know it's not ideal, but, you know, what would it get?
If you can match it with your tuner, I don't see a reason why you wouldn't want to try it. What the heck? Do you have a antenna analyzer? Or would you like to, you know, see if one of us could come over with ours and we could measure its impedance characteristics on those bands? You certainly could model it. I know it'll work as long as you have a tuner that's good with modest frequency excursions and impedance mismatches that are probably beyond 3-to-1, but I'm not so sure it'll work, you know, if you only have a 3-to-1 tuner, but you might be able to couple it with a ballon if need be to get things spiffy. But I think the first thing I would do before I worry about a ballon is try it if you have an auto tuner and see if it'll actually load it at all. And the other thing is that you might try as they say, put it on an analyzer after that, and if that'll tell you what you need to do impedance wise to make it work and nominally accepting of RF. But the 40's a nice little one, and that works real well. So you'll probably find, whether it works on 160 this weekend for the sprint or for the contest, I don't know, but you certainly will probably get it to work in some fashion on 80.
Me too, JEK.
Go ahead, Tom.
W2JEK, yeah, well, one thing that they tell you you can do, either with the 80-meter or, I guess, the 40-meter for that matter, is to short the feed line together and use the feed line as a random wire with the antenna wire fire top. Just use the whole feed line as a radiator with work it against ground as a Marconi rather than as a balanced dipole. So that's one of the things you can do with it. And this is a CW weekend. It's 160. So you should be able to get some contact in with it. And all you have to do is give your RST and the state, New Jersey, or you'll get whatever state. You can make a few contacts with it anyway. I don't know how high it is or how clear you are with your feed line from the ground and everything. It depends how high you have this thing up and everything. Just as a for instance, though, we mentioned height. I have a 40-meter dipole. It's about 20 feet off the ground, and I've worked all over the place with it. All continents, Hawaii, Israel, Turkey, Middle East, Europe, North and South America, Africa. So, it's not all cut and dried what happens with these antennas. You put it up wherever you can get it up, as high as you can get it up, and then give it a go from there. And it's not all cut and dried, so you'll find it quite interesting. Back to net, W2JK.
Good advice. You know, Paul, you got me thinking based on what Don said. You need to turn the tables on your wife. And that is, honey, I need an antenna that will fit on our lot that we can orient given the, you know, aesthetic and safety concerns of our lot and the limitations of being able to build structures to hold things up in the air or hoist things up in the air on trees or whatever, that will give me as low an angle radiation in as, you know, in these directions. Or, oh, I need one that's high angle so that I can have pretty good communications with inside 1,500 miles, you know, an NVIS antenna. You know, turn this, instead of a battle, turn this into a, this is what I need your help in. And let her design the antennas for you. What the hell? That way she's making the choice as well. If I want to get an extra 3 dB out of it, I'm going to have to do this and let you do that and yada, yada, yada. And that way all the aesthetic decisions get compromised by her insatiable quest for superior engineering.
Did you JEK again?
It's done.
W2JK, one thing I mentioned, the 40-meter dipole that I have also works on 15 meters. Now, on 40 meters, according to the book, I say according to the book, I'm shooting all of my radiation, being about 22 feet or 23 feet up in the air. I'm shooting this all straight up in the air and a very good low-angle radiation. However, working Europe is usually no problem unless there's bad conditions. Like I say, I work all over the place with it on 40 meters. However, even better, this thing on 15 meters, now we're talking, now this is, this 22, 23 feet is about a half wave up in the air on 15 meters. Now I got a fairly low angle of radiation, about 30 degrees above the horizon, which is pretty good for DX. And now you're talking Turkey there, or you have some of the other bands, 10 meters, it's even better. Or you might be able to use the 12 or the 17-meter band and the 20-meter band. And it depends. Just as a for instance now, though, I did put up a vertical on my roof, just a plain old ground plane, 16 and a half feet of tubing with 8 radio wires stretched around the roof as a low-angle radiator on 20 meters. Because I knew that the horizontal dipole was not up high enough for that. Well, that works great too. So that's another story, of course. But you probably do pretty good with a G5 RV, even at 20 feet, but on 20 meters. As I have, I've worked coast to coast from Arizona with a dipole that was 8 feet off the ground. So it all depends on, like you say. Not all the way the books say. The books are theory. But in practice, you get some good results sometimes. Back to net.
Yeah, and by good results, you mean effective communications. It does not mean that if you didn't, you know, orient the antenna, you know, either facing, you know, the target area, you wouldn't be stronger by a lot. Or if you could elevate the wire higher up, that you wouldn't have your the main part of your E-lobe, with a lower takeoff angle, and therefore put more energy downrange at a farther distance. I mean, all that's reasonable, but you can do all that and then find out that your near field, your, let's say, inside 1,500 mile circle, is now reduced, especially on 40 and 80, that can be a real issue, or even 60 meters for that matter. So, or even 30 meters for that matter. So, you know, you gotta think about it in those terms. But the other thing, Paul, is, as I said before, is that, you know, Don's antenna actually has you know, the 40-meter antenna, what he uses on 15, not only is it a half wave now in the air instead of a sixth of a wave in the air, but it's also now got three half waves, as a dipole. And so what that's going to do is it's going to produce some gain lobes. They'll have some valleys, some attenuation between them, but they're going to be some gain lobes that are broadside to that wire that are going to be outstanding, that are going to be stronger than normal, not just because of the height issue, which he mentioned, but also because you have multiple half waves being fed as a dipole, and that's good too. So again, I would challenge your wife to say, here are the population centers I want to talk to for now, and how many different pieces of wire do we have to put up to make this all happen on these frequencies?
I think the technical answer that I will get back from her is, yeah, good luck with that. But that aside, on that converting the J5RV to a Marconi, do I actually have to change the orientation, or just short it out and leave it up hanging as a dipole?
This is W2J. Yeah, just leave it as it is. You know, you don't have to change the orientation. Now, you're going to be really low to the ground with this thing, and it doesn't really matter too much whether you have a. Put it this way: 160-meter antenna. To be a half wave in the air would be 260 feet, because that's how long a half wave is. 160 meters is 260 feet. I don't think you're going to put up an antenna that high without getting approval from the Federal Aviation and the FCC and the town fathers, which they probably don't want to see in your backyard, if it would even fit. But, the thing is, you just radiate and see what you can get. I mean, I have a wire here that's 110 feet long, and it goes up from the cellar window to the rain gutter is about 20 feet. Out across the back to the back of the yard, it's about another 60 feet, so that makes 80. Then it goes across the yard to the west about another 30 feet to make 110 feet of length. And I use that on 160 meters, and I can work with 5 watts of CW. I work Canada down to north of Florida, and work into Bermuda and a few other places like that. But and now to and mostly up and down the eastern seaboard with it. I mean, I know that it's not ideal. That's what I can put up, and that's what you have to say. Is all right. That is it. I do know that some of these stations I work on, K9AY out in Wisconsin, is an antenna guru, and he has an antenna that's a very good receiving antenna that can pick me up when other people out there probably couldn't. But that's why you get involved with these contests. Some of these big guns like him or WHAI down in Georgia can pick you up. As poor as your antenna and setup is, they'll pick you up because this is a challenge for them, and they have the right equipment to do it. They're good leverage antennas and very good receivers. They're very selective and all. Back to that, W2JEK.
Paul, you want to follow that?
No, that sounds nice. And I think at the end of the day, that's going to be my only defense back, which is, dear, this is what I got. This is what I got to use. So, I think to continue the conversation, I'll try and get her down to the Hamfest on Saturday, so we can continue that one there. But thank you all. We've got a lot of good information here. I'm back to net.
Well, tell your wife that I'm an antenna junkie who lives on a significantly challenged plot of land for being an antenna junkie, and you know. I, as much as I'm an antenna junkie, I'm also a receiver junkie. Transmitters are a dime a dozen. Anybody can make a transmitter work within reason. But getting an optimal receiver to work under high stress conditions, weak signal, high dynamic range, all that kind of low noise, all that good stuff,
you know, that those are fun things, and so I like optimizing my overall systems. So I can appreciate that. But on the other hand, I've also learned that enough is enough, and sometimes good enough is good enough, and that's basically what you try to do. You know, do your best with what you got. But I still think you should challenge here to help you make an optimal antenna. You know, when you need those last 10 countries on 80 meters, put her to work on that on the antenna problem. I think that would be entertaining, if nothing else. Just real quick, Paul, given that she has this background, what does she do as her day job these days?
Looking after our dear kids at the moment, but she used to work for Lucent. She used to be a systems engineer designing antennas.
Mobility systems, things like that, wireless systems, you know, what I'll call frequencies above 30 megahertz.
No, I used to design cell towers. Old CDMA was one of her big boat versions.
So, yes, frequencies above 30 megahertz. Yeah, okay, cool. That's fun stuff. Well, very, very good. That's always fun. And she can go back and do that again. It'll be there for her. My lord. All right, anybody else?
Question for Paul. This is Don, W2JEK. Just how high do you have this thing up right now?
At the moment, it's about hanging off her washing line, which is probably about 15 to 20 feet off the ground. Not high. At some point, it would just give up. I got our son at KGI, threw it up, and trying to get something out of it. I do plan to stick it up in the trees, and it'll get better from there.
Paul, your vertical segment is on the ladder line. That should be as vertical as possible.
I got it. The documentation says take it 15 feet straight down and take it from there. So I just set it from there.
Yeah, okay. You have the ultimate Envis G5RV. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, well, you said you're going to get it up in the trees in the future there, so I think that would be a good way to go. I mean, 40 meters during the daytime, navigation is short because you don't have the long distance because the D-layer restricts the communications. During the daytime, you find that you only go 40 meters, only good maybe to 500 miles. So I know I used to take HWAQ up here, right down to the river in Hackensack. String up a 33-foot piece of wire from my 2-meter antenna on the car, hang it out straight about 4 feet above the ground, and use the car as a ground plane. And I was able to work down into Virginia and up into Canada with just about 2 watts on 40 meters CW. And that was about what you get with any rig that we you would have at that time of day. But you know, at night, of course, you got the Worldwide DX with an antenna that would be up higher, of course. But as high as you can get it, they just call it. That's one of the names of the game. As high as you can get it now, within reason, of course. I mean, as I mentioned before, 160 meters is not going to be higher. Some people do have 160-meter dipoles, but they usually don't have them up to 160 feet. Usually the trick with that band is to have a vertical antenna with a low-angle radiation and a lot of radials under it, and then have what they call beverage antennas, which are long wires pointed in various directions, which are very low-noise receiving antennas, because noise is a big problem on the 160-meter band. So that's usually how the big guns have a setup. Any rate, they still have a lot of fun without having a big gun antenna farm. So we'll put it up, try it out, and that's part of the fun. Back to net, W2JEK.
That's a good comment all around. Thank you, Don. Anybody else want to follow up? Paul, what about you?
All good. Good things. Yeah, at the end of the day, I'm going to get up there high and effectively see what I can do with it. yes, she'll be interested in trying to improve this. My next step will be get her to sign up for a tech license, and we can see what we can do together. Okay, back to that.
Well, good luck. That's excellent. And just remember, if you do short the two conductors together, when you make that L antenna, you got to run a line along the ground now as a counterpoise. So make sure that's squared away. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we'll see, folks, on Saturday for the Hamfest in Bergenfield. If you are going to the Barra dinner, it is Sunday. Regrettably, I can't go this year. We have another social commitment that came up first, unfortunately. So we are out of luck on that one. But we'll make an effort to make next year's and not have this conflict. I'll tell you. Keep that first Sunday in December clear for the Barra dinner. And it should be fun. If you really want to attend, I think if you contact the WG2Y directly, I think you can perhaps still come on Sunday. I think it'll be a good time, and I strongly recommend it. It's a great time. All right, Godspeed all. Have a great one, and we'll talk with you soon. Just thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater, and encouraging everybody just to be prepared and you know, always have your batteries charged and you're ready to rock and roll. This is K2BARW2TTT, signing clear in 673, heading inside. Oh, and Paul, thank you for taking the net log tonight. I really appreciate that. KCTUNH, W2TTT.
KCTUNH, you're welcome. KCTUNH, here.
CRB monitoring. NZ2K mobile. Thank you.